Welcome to Smart Sex, Smart Love. We're talking about sex goes beyond the taboo, and talking about love goes beyond the honeymoon. Today, the podcast title is Becoming a Multi-Passionate Entrepreneur with Heather McPherson. My guest today is Heather McPherson, a licensed marriage and family therapist supervisor, a licensed professional counselor supervisor, an ASECT and Shaw certified sex therapist, and the CEO and founder of Shaw, the Sexual Health Alliance. She's also the CEO of Respark Therapy and Associates, a multi-state group practice in Colorado and Texas that specializes in sexuality and relationship issues. Heather has been published in Playboy magazine and Playboy Online. She's been featured on CNN and in Rolling Stone, Huffington Post, and the Parent Herald. She has lectured at many prestigious universities, including the University of Texas at Austin, Texas State University, CU Denver, the University of Utah, and Governor State University in Chicago. And she still finds time to host her own podcast called Practice Outside the Lines that talks about having a business in the field of sexuality. Wow. Welcome, Heather.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a long intro.
It's a lot. You know, you're doing a lot of stuff. So this will be a great topic for people to hear. So if I could start with, how did all this start? How did you start to do all these different things?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I went into grad school thinking I was going to be a career therapist. I really love talking about career and kind of your life's work and contribution. And by the time I was done, I was specializing also in marriage, couple, and family therapy. And I realized that people were talking about sex to me and I didn't have the training. I wanted to know what to say. I wanted to know how to better engage with them, how to communicate better about sexuality issues and how to respond to the concerns they had. And I looked around and there was no training in Texas, much less the states around me. There was absolutely nothing available. And I was frustrated. I was like, why are there no trainings? Why is there nothing even in my city of Austin where I was living, which is a super progressive kind of town. And there was only one sex therapist, I think, in Austin at the time. This was back in the day.
Do you remember how long ago? I was wondering.
This was 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of like, man, like I want to bring this to Texas. So I opened up my own practice. I was a solo practitioner at the time. I opened up my own practice. I started doing couples therapy, but I really wanted to get the training before I did sex therapy. And so I decided to bring, you know, and put on local conferences. We call them Sexceptional Lectures. We launched Sexual Health Alliance. We called them Sexceptional Lectures. And we did like, you know, day-long conferences, sometimes half-day, sometimes day-long. And then pretty quickly, within like 6 months, moved into day and 2 day-long conferences. And it was a lot of fun. And I realized that people were so hungry for the content and so hungry for learning how to do it. And it was kind of an exploding field in a way within the mental health industry. Here we are 10 years later, and I still feel like it's growing and it's not talked about. I shared office space early on with other colleagues. And, you know, as I was putting on these lectures and these trainings, you know, one of the therapists would go, "Did you go to that sex lecture?" whispering about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is a therapist that sees clients. And, you know, we all know the harm that therapists can do when they have their own biases and their own shame involved whenever they're talking about sex and relationships. And so I was just like, wow, there is such a need for this. And so we started doing more and more trainings. My practice grew into a group practice, Respark Therapy and Associates. There's like a whole evolution of that. But I think that now, you know, coming back full circle, becoming a multi-passionate sexuality professional and kind of helping other people with their career, helping people build their dream sexuality career. It's kind of full circle for me because I really love talking about career with people, and that's where I started. And then I just found really my love of talking about sex and how fun it was and how much people needed to hear and needed to talk and needed to, you know, work some of those issues out. And so it's a unique kind of blend of everything that I love.
I think it's great. You know, I saw something online and it said, if you're a therapist and you're not talking about sex, then you're giving the message to your clients, don't talk about sex.
Exactly.
And I really believe that. And one thing you keep talking about, and it's in your, you know, the stuff I've read about you, and, you know, watched your program, Sexual Health Alliance, is fun. Like, I actually feel like I someday want to go on some of these trips you take. You go to Amsterdam, you went to Iceland, I think, didn't you go?
We didn't go to Iceland, but yeah, I mean, you even taught with us when we were in Detroit a few years ago, and yeah. You know, the experience was fun too. But yeah, we did study abroad programs. We're doing study abroad programs in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Next year, the year after, we're going to expand that program and go to a couple more places. And then we went to Mexico. Yeah, and we went to Mexico for our SAR, Sexual Attitude Reassessment. And that was so much fun and so such a different experience than being online, right? Like we've been for the last 2 years.
Yeah, no, right. And that's what I mean. It's like you're excited and passionate about being an entrepreneur, multi-passionate entrepreneur. I want to talk about that. But then you live it. That's what I meant. And I was kind of, I gave a little negative about Detroit. I mean, I live in Detroit, but I don't want to go to Detroit. I want to go to these places because you're teaching and you're making sex fun. You're making it like it's not this horrible whispering thing. Let's talk about it and have some fun.
Yeah, and I found that people who are, you know, wanting to specialize in sexuality, they want community, you know, they want to be able to talk about with other people that are open and not only open, but excited about it because it's, you know, therapy in general can be very isolating, but add to it becoming a sex therapist, and it's really isolating. And so I feel like I'm part community builder too. I just want people to get together and make friends and have fun.
Right, and you do that. I think that's embedded in your, so maybe you could talk about being a multi-passionate entrepreneur and what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like a lot of people resonate with the multi-passionate piece. You know, some people gravitate toward one thing, they go in all in and it's wonderful for them. But I think a lot of people have kind of these different passion and different interests over their lifespan. And it's, for me, it's kind of like, how do I incorporate all of those things into my career? And I've been really lucky to have some of the pieces fall in place with the group practice. And now we're in Colorado and Texas, because I moved to Colorado as well a few years ago. And so with that process, kind of the expansion to changing the way we're doing practice and group practice. And then I noticed a need for sex positive help with sexual abuse, sexual harm, and trauma. And so we created another arm that's called ReSpark Foundation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit part of ReSpark. And we provide low cost therapy to people who have experienced sexual harm and slide to $25 an hour. And I feel like it is so important to me to give back. And then Sexual Health Alliance, you know, it's kind of amazing to have all these different things that we're able to do, like the study abroad and like the experiential and immersive experiences that we're able to do, as well as the trainings and full certification programs.
Right. And you have a new program, which I'm really excited for you about, which is the what do you call it? Problematic sexual behavior?
Problem sexual behavior. Yeah, we were really excited to launch that, to be the first ever organization to launch a training program that is really focused on reframing and rethinking sex addiction in a way that no one else has done before. You know, Michael Vigorito and Doug Brown Harvey wrote this book called Rethinking Sex Addiction. And you know, we are taking, you know, that idea, but really expanding it to bring in all of the other theories and all the other approaches to treating these issues. You know, I won't get into like why we shouldn't call it sex addiction and all of that stuff, but you know, there's such a huge need to have a different approach to these issues. And so to be able to provide a program that trains people who are out out there already working with these clients and helping them see other approaches, learn other approaches of how to work with clients in a way that's less harmful and also a little bit more gentle and ultimately more effective is really meaningful.
Yeah, I love that harm reduction and just really, so that's what's really important because I made my own dream career, right? I was doing abuse and trauma, sexuality, and I was a sex addiction therapist for so many years until I realized the model didn't have Oh my God. Well, it just, and I mean, I'm embarrassed now to even say I was only because there was no sexuality training. Right? You'd get somebody healed and then they were like, okay, so what's my healthy sexuality or sexual health for me? And I didn't know. So then I became a sex therapist and it has been really helpful to have both. That's what I like about you, that you've done both.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think that becoming a well-rounded professional is really important and having all of the different types of training, depending on who you're working with, is really important. You know, I see a lot of kind of therapists and budding sex therapists that don't have any training and they say, well, I have sex and so I'm qualified to talk about sex. Or I know open and poly peoples and I'm friends with them, so I'm qualified to work with those types of clients. And, you know, it's helpful, but it's not the same as getting really high quality evidence-based training.
Now, I'm going to quote you. I love that, what you just said. I have sex, so I'm qualified to talk about sex. It's crazy, right? That's so not true.
True story. I've heard that many times.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Can you talk about, I was hoping you'd talk about, you know, being a female entrepreneur has its own unique issues, but being a female sexual health entrepreneur, I would imagine has even more, you know, issues. So could you talk about that?
Absolutely. I think that there's a lot of people in our world that want to ask for help about sex, but they don't know how. And they end up calling in and they're saying things that are inappropriate or maybe even a little jarring. And we as professionals have to respond to that in a really gentle and helpful way, but also put up boundaries to where, you know, this is inappropriate for the services that we provide, but maybe you want to check out some of these different services. But there's a lot of different, you know, calls that we'll get in the group practice. And as a female, responding to that can be a little bit more difficult. But, you know, also just being a female sex therapist, I think in this industry, can be difficult, not only with other professionals, but maybe even other men in the field and other people in the field. You know, they assume things, you know, just like the general population can assume things. And so I think that, you know, it goes back to how much of a need there is to provide education, to provide really good therapy.
Yeah. And just the idea that, you know, you wouldn't be taken seriously even, you know, that I think I know the therapists in my office that are sex therapists, females, sometimes get that and we get some, our own bizarre calls, you know, but we are able to get rid of them in ways that it's because people don't understand or they do understand, but they don't care. They want to use it as whatever.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate. And you know, there's people like that in every community. Every single one of them, right? And so I think that the earlier we can identify them and provide, you know, maybe a helpful redirect or say, you know, that's actually not what this field is about.
Right. Now, also, I've heard this about you, but I don't know. I'd like you to talk about it because I noticed that you're so good at marketing in a really easy way. Like if I go to your website and I want to sign up for anything on Sexual Health Alliance, super easy, friendly. It's actually fun. I'm going to use that word again. Right. But it's also, you know, but it's also professional. And I heard you have a marketing background. Is that true?
I do. Yeah. I mean, whenever I started in this field, whenever I started Sexual Health Alliance, my goal was fun. So I love that that's being, you know, experienced by people who are going to the website and the whole experience, right? All the way through like coming to an event. But yes, I do have a bachelor's in business marketing. And, you know, although the world has changed tremendously in the last decade, oh gosh, that's actually 15 years ago. Wow. or 15 years ago. Oh my gosh. But although the world has changed a lot, some of those basic foundational pieces that I've learned in grad school or in undergrad, getting my bachelor's in marketing has been really helpful. And I continue to learn, you know, I continue to take classes and take business courses, not only because I really love it, which is also very different than a lot of people. I think, you know, a lot of therapists don't like business. And so I have this kind of unique, you know, combination where I really love marketing and I really love learning about it. And so it's easier for me, I think, and I'm just lucky in that way.
Yeah, I feel as like you. I love marketing. I love, because to me, it's like, it's my social worker part of me, which wants to educate people and let you know what exists, you know, and I want people to have access to resources and not be scared to reach out and know where to go.
Exactly. You want it to be easy. You want it to be friendly, user-friendly, right? If we're talking about a website. And so, yeah, it's so important to the whole experience, not only when they come sit down in the chair, if you're a therapist or come to a conference, but the whole experience from beginning to end.
Yeah, totally. Can you talk about, and I was on your podcast, Practice Outside the Lines. It was a few years ago, actually.
Yeah, it was. So Practice Outside the Lines is a podcast that we started, that I started to focus on starting a business in the sexuality field or sexual health field. And I, you know, again, I like talking about business. I like talking about sex. So we just married them, right? I'm definitely not as good as you, Joe, in terms of your consistency in podcast episodes. I think we have like 20 episodes right now. More on the way. And I think that for me, I kind of do it whenever I find the time, whenever I have the energy, and I don't have the strict, I don't hold myself to the strict schedule that you probably need to and should with podcasting, because I'm doing all these other things that I also really love. So whenever I find someone like yourself who can talk about business and sex, I want to have those conversations and might as well be recording them, you know?
Totally. Right. Because people want to know, maybe they're interested in marrying the two, or they just want access to understanding, where can I go to get help?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that anyone who's in this field, in specifically the sex therapy field, we often don't get training on how to start a practice if you want to do a practice. And so, you know, having that information available and easy for them to access, again, is my goal.
Right. It's actually discouraged in social work. If you're mm-hmm. somebody that wants to make some money and you're somebody that wants to have a thriving practice, it's frowned upon. It's stupid. Even in 2021, I've been in practice since 1985. Right. That was what was said back then. I can't believe 37 years later, that's still the case.
You want to be the altruistic provider that's not in it for the money. And while that's, you know, can be like a lofty goal, I guess, it's not really realistic because you still have to put food on your table. You still have to make it sustainable so that your energy level isn't impacted and therefore isn't impacting the clients that you have too. And so it's kind of like this piece that no one talks about or maybe frowns down upon it, but you have to think about it and you have to talk about it. Otherwise, you're going to burn yourself out and it's not going to be worth your time.
I know. Think about what other profession says, okay, when you get out, don't make it about the money. So, you know, you're going into, I don't know, whatever business or, you know, a quicken loan or whatever. I don't want to make a lot of money. It just doesn't make any sense. You know? But I like what you do. And I do the same thing. I do sliding scale. We do sliding scale. You have that 501 where people, it's affordable therapy. That makes sense, but we have to make a living and it's fun and we want to make some money too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you're providing a service in which you have tremendous amount of training for. You went to 3 years of grad school. We have multiple certifications, which I feel like is a whole nother grad school on top of it.
Yes.
You have tremendous training and professional education and you're providing that service and it's fair to be paid for it. And you want to be paid for what you're worth.
I think it's also important people know that while you have these businesses, they're ASECT approved. You have continuing education. And can you talk about what that means and what ASECT is?
Yeah, so ASECT is the American Association for Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists, and our organization, the Sexual Health Alliance, is an ASECT-approved provider, meaning that we can provide ASECT CE's continuing educational units to all of the students that come and get training from us. It's a mouthful. It can be really confusing, but basically it means that we can provide training CE's and certification programs so that you can go on after you graduate with Sexual Health Alliance, go on and become certified with ASECT.
Mm-hmm. And then you also have said that Sexual Health Alliance has provocative dialogue and radical collaboration. Can you explain that?
So another kind of piece of the story of why I wanted to start Sexual Health Alliance was because I went to a conference and I saw people talking about sex work and body work and the issues they were having with an ASECT of becoming certified or even providing those services in our field. And it was a powerful and rich conversation. I'm pretty sure you were in the room. Esther Perel was in the room. Everyone was in that room. And it was so meaningful. And I said, I really want to bring these conversations back home and have these conversations with our local communities. And whenever I came back home, I said, you know, I want this organization to be inclusive of sex workers, body workers, sexual surrogates, educators, counselors, coaches, you know, everyone who's talking about sex. I want them to be included and be able to be in the room and get the training that everyone else is getting.
I love that. I thought, so I do remember that. And I thought you were also going to talk also, and would you, about the fetish and kink arm of what you do too. I think your program, I notice of all of them, that's out there a little bit more, like it's more visible.
Yeah. I mean, I love talking about open, poly, swinger, kink, fetish, alternative sexuality. And I think that those areas are growing within our field too. People are becoming more interested, of course, in 50 Shades, but also, you know, different types of relationship structures are growing. It's becoming more talked about. And so I think that professionals and therapists and coaches and counselors and all of the professionals that involved need to have adequate training around it. Again, as I said before, there's people that, you know, well, I have friends that do that, so I'm qualified to do it. Well, we prefer you to have evidence-based training to be able to have those conversations, to be able to be aware of maybe biases you didn't know you had, so that you can provide therapy or whatever service that you're providing in a really compassionate and meaningful and evidence-based way if we can. So we have we were the first ones back in 2017 to announce a highly specified certification training program. We did that even before we launched our full certification programs, because again, my goal was like, I wanted to be fun and this was fun to me. And so we launched the kink informed certification program and the consensual non-monogamy certification alongside the problem sexual behavior certification program recently. And the goal really is that it's a 12-month program. We have monthly live webinars and consultation and supervision to all different professionals all over the world to be able to get trained in how to work with clients that are presenting with interest in those issues.
I always say I love that you do that. And I always say that the world is getting more gay, because as a gay man, sexuality, kinks, fetishes, open relationships have always been around since the beginning of gay time. Not all gay men are like that, but many are. And so sometimes I have to close my eyes if I do, I think to myself, if I'm in front of a heterosexual couple who are talking about opening up their relationship 4 months after they get married, they sound like a gay male couple, right? But they're not. They're straight. They're young. And it's a different world now.
Yeah. I think it's come into the social media, to general media, mass media, and it's being talked about so much more. And I think that people are kind of realizing, oh, actually, there is a different way to approach my relationship. Or maybe I do want to spice up my relationship 30 years in a monogamous relationship and I want to try a blindfold. Well, what does that mean about me, right? Does that mean I'm a kinkster? Does that mean, you know, all these questions that come up with that idea? And how do we talk about it? How do we really reduce shame and provide psychoeducation in a meaningful way?
Yeah. How do we do it in a way that's shame? I feel like every day I'm a shame reductioner, right? Everyone comes in and that's the main thing, right? I want to put a blindfold on and I want to have whatever experience. Is something wrong with me? Like, we're constantly educating. No.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that as we kind of like move into where we're online still, and there's so much written media out there about all the different things that you can do, you know, all the different experiences that you can have, that just serves to really normalize it for everyone.
And I, what I also love, I don't remember who's created this, maybe you'll know, but I love this line, kink is not a diagnosis, right? Yeah, I say it all the time. I know I didn't create it. Someone else did. But the idea that therapists think, well, it's not heteronormative or it's not traditional way of being sexual. It's non-normative or whatever we want to call it. But it doesn't mean that it's from a problem place.
Right. Well, and I think that that goes back to our really conservative training and field of therapy and psychotherapy and psychology. You know, as a gay man, I'm sure you know, in the 70s, homosexuality was a diagnosis in the DSM. Yep. And you know, being kinky, they called it different things, was also a diagnosis in the DSM. And so I think that as we learn more about all of the different variations of sexuality, of human sexuality, we see that those diagnoses are being dropped from our manuals. And I think that that's an incredible thing. And I hope it keeps going.
Yeah, me too. I do too. I love watching it just disappear, you know? Mm-hmm. What else did I not ask you about that you want to make sure we know about you, Shaw, Respark, any of it?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I feel like we covered it there. I mean, you know, I think that people getting into this field, whenever I got into this field, I didn't know where to look. And like I said, it was back in Austin and there was only one sex therapist out there and I didn't know where to look. I didn't know how to become certified. I didn't know anything. And I couldn't find anyone to give me that information. And so that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to help other people do that in a really easy but also fun way. And I also selfishly wanted to create a community where I could go have fun. You know, I could go study abroad. I can go to Mexico on a SAR and I can meet other people who are like-minded, because that's, you know, we know how powerful it is for our clients to find like-minded community. And it's really powerful for professionals in this field as well.
And I want to make sure people hear this, that you don't say community lightly. You mean it. You create community. And I do remember when you came here to Detroit and you had like this big audience. Do you know how hard it is for me to do a talk and try to get all those therapists and all those people? I can't do it. It's too hard. Yeah, you just had a full crowd. I don't even know how you did that.
I have to say, we have an incredible team of people that help us. And I also feel like word of mouth is powerful, right? Everyone who comes to something, they tell their friends because they want their friends to join in on the fun with them, right? Yeah. But our team and everyone who helps create those events and helps create this organization is so meaningful. And I couldn't do it without any of them. And so I'm just really thankful and grateful for the people that are around me.
That's great. Thank you. Well, how can people find you on the internet and contact you?
Yeah. So Sexual Health Alliance is sexualhealthalliance.com. That's the website. Respark and Associates, we're in Colorado and Texas. We have 18 therapists, and that's Respark, R-E-Spark, R-E-S-P-A-R-K, .co. And then our 501c3 nonprofit is resparkfoundation.org, and then practiceoutsidethelines.com.
Heather, it's been a pleasure having you on my show. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on here.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to catch up with you.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to tell my listeners, you can hear more of my podcast at smartsexsmartlove.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. My handle is at Dr. Joe Court, D-R-J-O-E-K-O-R-T. I just hit 542,000 people on TikTok. I'm freaking so excited about that. 500,000 people are following me, which is cool. So, and you can find me on my website, joecourt.com. See you next time.